Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we come together this evening, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come with us, to open our hearts and our minds to be receptive to your word. And Father, if we've done anything this day that has been displeasing, we ask for forgiveness, Father, and to let us know what it was so that we don't do it again, that we can grow in knowledge and wisdom, grow in strength of faith and trust, and to be able to walk closer with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Father, we do thank you for the Holy Spirit that has been sent to us to keep us according to your will and your way. Now be with us, Father, throughout this evening, and we ask this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Now, as we get ready for communion, if you've got things ready, if you get your bread, Father, as the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let us all remember all those stripes and all that have been put upon his body and the nail prints in his hands and his feet and the scars on his head from the halo of thorns. So take your bread now. in remembrance of him. Get your cup and act in the same manner also. He took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So we know that his blood is what covers our sins, because we are in the church age of the New Testament, and his blood is what covers. And he tells us, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Praise the holy name of the Lord Jesus, that bought and paid for you and I. And we give all this praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, we're going to be tonight in the last book, or the last chapter of the book of Acts. When we get through this, we've been all the way through the book of Acts. And I know there's been a lot of things brought to my mind that I hadn't really realized the full situation of. Okay. If you're there, verse 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. We know when we left off this morning, they were still on this island and ready to get off of it. This island is called Melita. But once they made it out of the sea and into the island, the people there on the island treated them well. Now, it says they've escaped now from the island. Verse 2, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. See, they treated them with kindness. For they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. They made a fire and everything for them. Now, and Paul, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. He's been bit by a snake now, a viper, a deadly one. 4. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. They are thinking all the time that because this snake bit him, and it's venomous, and met death. That even though he'd come out of the sea and all right, and he must be a murderer, and he's not going to be able to escape. Now, five. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. It wasn't bothering him at all. I bet they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now, because he didn't die, now to them he's a god. He's went from being a murderer to a god, all because of this snake bite. Seven. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Douglas, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. So they hadn't been mistreated there on that island at all. Eight. And it came to pass that the father of Douglas lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him, healed him. Now he's healed this man here on this salt. Nine. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. Now, according to verse 8, God miraculously healed Publius' father through the laying on of Paul's hands. And verse 9 states that many came and were healed, but a different word is used. And any mention of laying on of hands is missing. Consequently, the healing of verse 9 could have been by medical means, though through the hands of Luke, the physician. No, it wasn't. It was all done supernatural. But you see, this is what mankind does to the scripture. Even here in the footnotes, they want to put their thoughts and what they think instead of what the word has said. Now, ten, who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laden us with such things as were necessary. So they gave them what they needed in order to leave the island and continue on their trip. 11. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. 13. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Regrum. And after 1 day, the south winds blew. We came the next day to Petula. As you see, this trip, in order to get him to Rome, hasn't been a short one, nor has it been without its troubles, its trials and tribulations of all kinds. Shipwreck, storms, snake bite, changing ships, everything. 14. Where we found brother and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. Now they're going toward them. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Aphila. 4. When Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Now, 16. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. There, you know, when they got there in Rome and all, according to tradition, Rome was founded in 753 B.C., organized as the Republic in about 510 B.C., it had its first emperor, Caesar Augustus, before the birth of Christ. Rome is located on the Tiber River, 15 miles from the Mediterranean. During New Testament times, it enjoyed the height of its splendor. The population far exceeding 1 million and represented nations from Arabia to Britain. Close to half of these people were slaves, and the others free citizens, thought it degrading to do manual labor. Now, Rome desperately needed the gospel. The scripture does not state how Rome first received the gospel, that an apostle, Peter or Paul, began the work. It's most unlikely. In Paul's epistle to the Romans, the church there appears unstructured and ungrounded in the basic doctrine, which no apostle would allow. Also, Paul swears to these very believers that he avoided building on another man's work. Yet, he would be doing exactly that if another apostle had established it. From the information that scripture convinces from Rome, who were in Jerusalem at Pentecost, began the work, that Paul did get to Rome and did minister there, evidently is important to the development of Acts, since this occupies the last several chapters of the book. Now, you see, there's a lot of things you and I begin to think and study. Now there in 16, Paul was by himself except for the soldier that kept him. 17, and it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, do I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers? Yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem unto the hands of the Romans. 18. Who, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. In other words, they couldn't find any reason even to keep him. And if he had not appealed to Caesar, as we know from our last study of just a couple of chapters, he would have been let go before he ever started this trip to Rome. But we know that God had told him he had to testify in Rome also. He had to be a witness there. Now, 19. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal to unto Caesar. Not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. It's got a chain on it. 21. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brother that came showed or spake any harm of thee. They haven't heard anything about it at all to this point. 22. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. This sect they're talking about is in those that are believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the sect they're talking about here. They're letting Paul know that they know it has been spoken against everywhere. But it was mainly because of the Judaizers that had been following Paul and them, trying to get them back under the law and out from under grace. 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Every day, all day, he's teaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is your time today in really worshiping and fellowshipping with the Lord? Really, it amounts to very small bits and pieces. Now, 24. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word, Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. Now, 26, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And you heard me preach about that a lot of times. Because without being that born again child of God and having the Holy Spirit with you, you will not understand this word. You can read it and read it and read it, but without the Holy Spirit to guide you and to give you the understanding, you will not understand. He's telling you that right here. He says you'll hear. Hearing, you shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing, you shall see and not perceive. In other words, they're not going to gain any knowledge without the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And neither will you and I. That's why we have the weak churches we've got today. Because we've got men in them that is not understanding the truth of God's word. 27. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be letting them know exactly what it takes. You can see the word, you can hear the word, and if you have that Holy Spirit, then you'll understand with the heart. And that's where everything has to be and to come from in order to be converted. And then he, Paul tells him, and I should heal them. 28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. Now they out there getting together, discussing these things among themselves. Now, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hard house and received all that came in unto him. His church was in his home that 2 years. And we think it's terrible for the gospel to come out of the home. Now, 31, 2 years out of his own hard house, he received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, and all confidence, no man forbidding him. 2 years he had church there in his home that he had rented. He said he started a house. In other words, he had paid for the use of it. Today we call it renting. And he used it for the purpose of the will of Almighty God. But that's exactly what I'm doing with my home right now. And have been now. And I keep asking God and wondering, Lord, do you have a church for me? Or will it always be here where I am? But regardless of which way, I will never stop teaching and preaching the word of Almighty God. If it's to be here in my home, that's where it'll be. Because you'll get the same thing here you would get if I'm at a church. The only difference is the church would be easier to bring others into. Because you see, man has got this inside him. We don't want to go there because that's his home. We want to go somewhere and go to church. We are the church. And when we come together, if there's just two or three of us, that is a church assembly. Jesus said, if there's two or three of you together there in my name, I am there in the midst. Think about it. Don't have to have no $3 or $4 million building to hear the gospel of the word and to hear about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to walk with him. We can do it right here in my living room. We've been doing it now for quite some time. Think about it. We have now come to the end of the book of Acts. God willing, we'll be going on through the New Testament. Now, he may move us off every now and then, take us somewhere else for a message. But if he does, he'll bring us back to where we can go on through the New Testament. We've come a long way in it. We've been through the four Gospels, now the book of Acts. God willing, we'll be starting through the book of Romans. That is another good book, full of a lot of things. I pray you've gotten something out of today's service, something to help you to grow in strength, be closer to the Lord Jesus Christ than you've ever been before. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we close your word now. We thank you for this word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for the times that we can come together here in my home. Thank you. Father, I pray for Israel. I pray for peace for them. But I pray more so, Father, for all of them except the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as the Messiah. And I pray for our land. I pray that our land will remove from office those that are sitting in high places that has been filled with evil and that has brought this evil to this land and the people. And be replaced, Father, with those that love you, love the Lord Jesus, love your church, your people, and love this land. And bring, Father, repentance to this land. And work with us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray for those that are in my heart. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Amy, Tom and Jacob, Bobby and Millie, Father, James Taylor, my wife, Sue, Daryl, Debbie, Courtney and Shane, and myself, Father, and all of our families, our sons, daughters, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and each member of our family, Father. We all have family members still walking in darkness. I pray that the Holy Spirit can work with them, Father, to help to bring them out of darkness to the light, that light being Jesus, so that none be lost, all can make heaven their home. Now, Father, as we separate, I pray that you keep us this night in health, keep us safe, and bring us back together again from morning back into your word, Father, at 10 a.m. This is my prayer this evening, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a good one. Now, I see I've got a strange phone number here. Caller, would you give me your name? Come on, you know who you are. This 804-944-1486. Caller, would you give me your name? Oh, don't guess they want to. All right, everyone. Have a good night, all. Got no pen in here.